Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, this is Professor Applewhite, and you are participating in the Student Teacher Radio Show on the Internet. Oh, yeah. We appreciate that. Our system's already lighting up. Trouble calling in by the chat line. Great music. Thank you so much again for joining us this morning on the student to teacher to student to teacher, and it just goes around and around and around into a cycle. Because we are always, at one time in our life, a student, and then a teacher, and then a student again. And so that's what this show is all about. We are promoting the mission statement of White Apple Institute. And we are asking our listeners to understand what we do, and part of this radio show and the commentaries that are made are about helping students who are 17 years and over that are moving, transitioning out of high school or group home settings. And they may have disadvantages, they may have disabilities, economic issues that will stop them from proceeding on into a successful lifestyle with a college degree or a vocational training, a good job, and the White Apple Institute is here to support that. We have several callers on our switchboard this morning. Let's see who's already called in here. Some people from Arizona, some people from other places here. We encourage you to call in to our number at 1-646-727-3758. Again, that's 1-646-727-3758. If you enjoyed that beautiful music at the beginning, that was our dear co-host, Brother Nazim Rashid, and his album Renaissance is available on the Amazon Book and Music Network. Let's see who this is first on air with us this morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Good morning. Let me see if I can get you there. There you go. You're on air, caller. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Tom. How you doing?
Tom.
I'm with the Student Advisory Board.
That's right. And we sure do appreciate you, Tom. You've done a wonderful job and helped with fundraising for the organization, and certainly are out there asking people to participate in the membership, which is one of the ways that we're supported in addition to the donations that come in to us. So we certainly appreciate you being not only part of White Apple Institute, but a very big part of promoting our mission out there and helping us to support that. Thank you so much. And thanks for being on the show this morning. We know that we understand that you're not feeling very well, and so that's a real plus for you to still feel eager and motivated enough to be on the show. So that's great. All right, let's see who else we have here. We have another 584 prefix. And may I get your name? This is Professor Applewhite. This is Professor Applewhite calling a 584 number. Who's this?
Good morning.
And who's this?
This is Cindy.
Cindy. Not our Cindy Esseri.
Yes.
From the White Apple Institute Office Management.
Yes.
Quite a wonderful woman you are that you are able to take the time out of your busy day to be part of our show today. And we're going to talk a lot about prescription drugs and students. And I understand you have some grandchildren.
Yes,
that are involved in this big, you know, controversy that's going on about college students or students overall who are taking prescription drugs. So I hope you're going to enjoy what you're going to hear today and also that you will participate and share any comments that you have. Cindy, thank you for joining student to teacher to student.
Thank you.
All right, and we have another person on the switchboard this morning, which I think may indeed be one of our co-hosts. And may I help you? Did I get that number right? It's a 213 number.
Oh, good morning. This is Dorothy.
Yes. Good morning, Dorothy. Yes, you are on air now, and sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. Sometimes that this technology gets me. It's good to hear your voice, Dorothy, always.
Good to hear yours, Professor.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Dorothy, I really appreciate what you do with, as a resource consultant for White Apple Institute. She gives us plenty of resources also, not only to generate membership money to support our services, but also she's very supportive to our student advisory board. So we appreciate you being online this morning. So thank you very much. And Dorothy, would you open our show for our listeners and tell us how we can focus more on success at school and work and how the relationship to prescription drug use can be a very fatal situation.
Okay. Our show this morning, it says, okay, this Saturday's episode is focused on how some adult students use prescription drugs to stay motivated and active throughout a business day of school, work, and raising a family. Professor Applewhite will share important facts about this dilemma in the United States. Co-host Naveen Rashid will share valuable information on ways to avoid addiction and abuse of prescription drugs. We welcome listeners to share how this dilemma affects their families, communities, and as well as the individual.
You know, Dorothy, as you were reading that, visions came into my heart and my mind about how times have changed. And I know this prescription drug abuse issue has been around for a very long time, but it's so prevalent now in our schools. I hear it all the time, and let me also remind our listeners that before our co-host comes on, he will be handling our login to chat as our co-host. So if you have also something you want to chat about, go right into the computer to our chat box and click and go in. And you can actually write to us instead of being on air if you feel a little apprehensive about being on air. And also, I took some time this week to really, with my heart, listen to the messages that come in to the show and also to the website. And I am just amazed at how many people are listening to our show all around the world. Dorothy, it's just fascinating, the messages that they're sending, that they truly appreciate the work that we're doing, helping students of all adult ages to do something more than just hang out on the street corner. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because a lot of them hang out on the street corner after they're released. I know I wrote back to one of the orphanages. It sounds like she's somewhere in the either Nairobi or area, the way she described her orphanage. And I told her, let us know if we can help her with any students that are 17 plus, if they need support in finding a job or bringing up their academic proficiency, you know, to becoming better students. We certainly will support that because we have resources that can help them. And so, you know, part of that is because you help us so much. So I just want to say thank you, and I'm just excited about the information I'm going to share with you this morning. But before I do, let me ask our listeners that have already opened up our show on air what comments they have about prescription drugs and students or people overall, and what they would like to learn from this show today. Is there anybody that would like to say anything about, you know, this use of prescription medic agents?
Well, I was going to say...
Anybody that knows anything about it. Yes, go ahead.
This is Tom. I was going to say that prescription drugs, often people have illnesses where they have to take a lot of medications anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to other doctors and they end up abusing prescription drugs without even intending to, because doctors are so free nowadays to just write out prescriptions for drugs. You know,
okay.
I had that happen once myself. I had itchy skin, and I went to three doctors because none of them were smart enough to give me Benadryl. And it interfered with my other meds, and I had to go in the hospital, and they said, well, you're abusing drugs. So I got off what I could, but I can't get off them completely because I have a psychiatric disorder. And it's always real iffy. Are you taking enough meds? Are you taking too much? And that's the real problem for people that have to take meds anyway. It's not like if you're an alcoholic, you can just stop drinking alcohol. You know, if you're
That's an important part. That's an important part of our discussion today. I think we need to add that in, that there are people who don't, it's not their intention to become, to abuse these drugs, but because their whatever their condition is, especially pain, that becomes a very big issue, they start using the drug and then they become addicted to it and start abusing the use of it. And some doctors, unfortunately, and I hope I don't have any statistics on that number, the number of doctors that are involved in giving patients pain meds especially, or like some of the things that are listed that are used most often are stimulants and opiates, and some of the benzodiazepines, which are basically related to sinus problems, but they begin to abuse this particular over-the-counter drug to become high and to feel lightheaded. And it's just incredible, the survey, the results of a survey of almost 4,000 students. The average age of the sample was about the age of 20. And the students wrote back that not only did they deal with the drug abuse, the potential of drug abuse because of the medications that were prescribed, but also that they were having trouble with sleeping and anxiety, which is, I mean, already part of the postgraduate experience. When you're out of high school and you're attempting to go and get your first job and you're in work training or you're in college and then also trying to maintain a job at the same time, you lose sleep, you want a sleeping aid, so you ask for a sedative, and a lot of anxiety medicines. And the students talked about the fact that they had experienced drug-related problems, like engaging in illegal activities to obtain the drugs. And then they had a lot of withdrawal symptoms and developed many problems due to drug abuse. And so when we put all of that together and then thinking about what you brought out, that many times they don't even mean, it's not their intention to abuse the drug, but that they go in because of these symptoms of not sleeping and sinus problems and something to keep them awake in school, something to stimulate them, that these are the things that happen to them as they go along using these drugs. So we appreciate that, and we appreciate the statistics shared with us from the University of Michigan, Dr. Ann Arbor and Dr. Sean McCabe. Thank you very much for sharing those statistics with us. Anyone else would like to say anything? Please feel free to jump in. Okay. We have another caller online, and let's see who that is so we can welcome you to the show. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite on Student to Teacher. How are you?
Rashida.
Oh, hello. Good morning. Our co-host is online, and I know he's got some great information to share with us on some ways to avoid addiction, because addiction is quite a serious issue. It's not just about the drug, right, Nazim?
That's right, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
I'll talk more about that later on.
That's right, absolutely. So those statistics that I just shared were just unbelievable. I can go on and on about statistics and studies that were done, but I can tell you most assuredly that the results of many of these stories show that over 50% of the student surveys, and these are big surveys, my dear listeners out there, that over 50% reported using drugs with a prescription and then potentially abusing those drugs later on. And only about 20% reported taking them without a prescription for non-medical reasons. Now when you compare that, Nazim, that only 20% are actually going out in the street and buying the drugs for non-medical reasons, and then you've got over 50% using them with a prescription, that makes us look a little bit closer at the doctors that are issuing these prescriptions, and why are they doing that? And so if there are any more teachers out there, or even doctors out there listening, we invite you to call in and present your side of the story. There's only like 15% of the people that were surveyed that use street medications and prescriptions. So these are very low numbers when you compare them with these prescription drugs, such as codeine, oxycodone, Percocet, and what are some of the other ones out there? The barbiturates, definitely. Anybody else have any other comments?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think of some of the bits. They prescribe. I was trying to think of a barbiturate. There's one that Tegretol they prescribe sometimes. Usually. And that's, I think that's a barbiturate. I don't remember the carmazepam, I think, I'm not sure the exact name for the drug, but they prescribe a lot of meds for mental illness now. And they overdiagnose that, which results in more people.
Exactly. And what we want our listeners to understand is that we are concerned, White Apple Institute is concerned about this abuse of drugs with a prescription because of the fact that our position and our mission is to help students 17 years old to 47 to 67 years old to return to school, to return to work and stay at work and stay at school and not drop out or burn out. And so that's why this becomes a problem for us to address, is that we are dealing with some students who have prolonged use of prescription drugs that hinder their ability to go to school or to stay in a work position. And I heard somebody else saying, beginning to talk, and please speak forward if you have something to say about any other drugs that are used out there. And go ahead.
This is Cindy.
Oh, good, Cindy. Thank you for joining us.
There's another drug out there. Vicodin is being misused and sold on the street, as well as Xanax. And the kids are talking about E, which is ecstasy.
And also
K, and that is a horse tranquilizer. And if I understand correctly, that is a big item on the market for kids nowadays.
And what is it called again?
K. They just call it K. And my understanding that it's some kind of horse tranquilizer. And they're using it to, you know, get high. So, and they have these parties that are called raves. And people are high every time they go into that place.
Now, I thought these raves were built around churches, religious groups. Am I incorrect?
The way I see it with my grandchildren is you're incorrect. They're not sponsored by a church.
Uh-oh.
These things, they're patted down before they enter, but they get high before they go in there. And then they have this real loud music, and they just scream, and that screaming type of music, and it goes on to like 3 or 4 in the morning. So we're talking about a lot of young adults that are out past curfew, and it enables them to make relationships with people that are probably not very good for them, and may be able to talk them into trying something.
Hmm. This is a very serious thing, especially if you're telling us that you've heard that people are starting to use these drugs before they even enter these rave parties, which means that they're already high. And most of these are students, if I understand correctly. I've seen a lot of information come across my desk on these rave parties, so they're most of the time they're students. They're in a college environment or even high school that are participating in these raves. Am I correct?
Yes.
You know, some of the studies are really indicating some really interesting information even on coffee. Now, we know we have a number of coffee shops that sell coffee that, believe me, Nazim, this coffee scares me, okay? Right? Because once I have this coffee, it seems like I want more and more of these particular coffees, these shops that are coming out. And I don't want to mention any names. I think that people pretty much know some of these things that are happening out there with the companies that sell coffee, which frappuccinos and lattes and all of these things. But something happens when you start taking them. And I'm one who can definitely speak about it because once I have one, I want another one, and then the next day I want another one. And a lot of people are not aware that caffeine is a very serious drug and people actually have withdrawal symptoms when they stop taking coffee. Have you heard about that, Nazim?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I also, this is Tom. I heard about a guy who was an alcoholic, a heroin addict, a crystal meth addict, and he drank coffee. And he said coffee was the hardest one to give up.
My goodness, that's something. That's something to really think about. I hope some of these, some of the parents out there that are listening to our show this morning, and certainly the teachers, are getting a really good idea about how they can introduce, and there's plenty of information out there on drug abuse and prescription drug abuse and students. Ritalin, which is used quite often now because of the constant diagnosis of students with ADD and ADHD, and the studies that are coming out on that are just unbelievable. The use of Ritalin has increased, and even college students that are using Ritalin because of ADD issues is interesting. And another study that came out reported that the non-medical use of prescription drugs, in other words, those that were not prescribed, are being seen more among white males who were members of fraternities. And this is according to the Harvard School of Public Health College alcohol study. So alcohol wasn't the biggest thing. It was the non-medical use of prescription drugs. So this is a very serious thing. Addiction in itself is a serious thing. And that's why I want to move now to letting Nazim open us up with the issues of addiction and the factor that addiction in itself to anything tells us that there's a void within us that needs to be filled. And so we are looking for something to fill that void within us because we are so unhappy and not satisfied with our lives, that we need to look for something else. Now, he'll be introducing things from his upcoming book, which is called Reconnecting, and it will be with Amazon, available through Amazon pretty soon, but you can also call White Apple Institute. What number should they call, Dorothy, or go online to put themselves on the list so that they can get Brother Nazim Rashid's book? Would you give the White Apple Institute address, please? Hello? Okay, I'll do that real quickly. She must have left the line for just a moment. On the Internet, you catch us at White Apple Institute, whiteappleinstitute.org, or you can call us at 1-480-659-8582. And anybody that needs more information on that, feel free also to contact us through the show. And the show will lead you right into White Apple Institute. All right, Brother Nazim Rashid, I hope I've given you enough time to prepare a little presentation about addiction.
Well, a little bit. I'll just improvise as we go along. But surely, okay, first of all, we have to be really clear what addictions really are, if we're addicted or not. And I'll just give you a straight-up definition here, actually taken from my book and chapter on addiction. And addictions are, quote, the compulsive and out-of-control use of any chemical substance, lifestyle, or behavior that produces recognizable and identifiable unpleasant withdrawal symptoms when the use of the drug or lifestyle is stopped, unquote. You see, and so it's very important to understand that right there. And now, of course, some people can have caffeine, television, certain social groups, food, control of others, domination, codependency in a relationship, jobs, material achievement, criminal behavior, sex, inflated egos, and, of course, drugs, illegal, and prescription. All right? So all those are in those categories. So we got to be real clear. And it's unfortunate that with your discussion about the illegal, I mean, prescription drugs, these doctors are tied in financially with these drug companies, and so they benefit when they give you drugs that you don't necessarily need to have.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
I've had situations myself where I've gone in. Man, sometimes I didn't even see a doctor. And I call in and ask, I have a certain pain in my knee or whatever, and they want to pour a prescription for me at the drugstore without even examining me.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so they're tied in financially with these drug companies, so they'll do those things. They'll prescribe Vicodin and codeine. They'll give you these things because they benefit from them. So the ethic
wow.
is really not anywhere where it used to be at all. You know, so and think about it. See, once you get on these prescription drugs and you like them, what happens is that if you have the X factor for addiction, it's very important to talk about that. If you have the already inclination in your blood for addiction, then you have these prescription drugs, you will go out and seek other ways to medicate yourself because if that prescription drug does not give you the satisfaction you need to have, see what happens, it opens the door. It opens the door for more of a so-called need for euphoria. It opens the door for that. So then you might combine your codeine with heroin.
Right.
You see?
Right.
You combine because you got this so-called need that your body is telling you for more of this euphoria, so you go and do this. And we have so many instances where, in history, matter of fact, I'm a jazz musician. We have a great jazz master, Charlie Parker, who set the tone for saxophone playing in jazz. Well, what happened, he was working on a railroad, and he got hurt, and so he was actually on medication for his pain. And it happens that the pain he was experiencing was low beyond what the medication he was getting. And so, therefore, at that time, the doctors would not give him anymore. Of course, now they probably would. But during this time, they wouldn't give him anymore. So what he did, he had some heroin. And that
mm-hmm.
did the trick for him. That did it. That knocked it right out. And so in the process, what happened? Now he's addicted. All right, and now
it's really something. I want you. I think that there's some questions out there, and I don't know if you're ready to take a few questions in the middle of your.
Sure.
The switchboard is lighting up here, so let's just see who's online here and our caller on air. Let's see, we've got a caller on air from a 213. Number. Oh, that's you. I'm sorry, Nazim. Let's see. 363 number. Good morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite, student to teacher. Do we have you?
Show this morning.
Good morning. And who is this?
Consuelo Astete.
Oh, Consuelo.
I am so glad I.
Yes. We certainly appreciate you joining us this morning. This is Consuelo Sete is one of the professors that has taught at ASU and developed programs for translators for Spanish, for the Spanish language. So I hope you have something to add to this discussion that we're having on students using prescription drugs, especially in the United States. I'd like to hear about comparisons between the students here and in other places that you've traveled to, especially in Peru. One more moment, and let me get this another caller here, and I'm going to come back to you. And
sure.
Anyone that has any questions for Nazim and what he has said already, please be prepared to ask him. This is Professor Applewhite on Student to Teacher, and this is a 200 number.
Maria.
Maria? Maria Ramirez?
Yeah. Good morning.
I appreciate you being here this morning. Very wonderful to have you on the show also. So we've got some good callers coming on air. Dorothy, are you still there to give the number out? Guest call-in number? It is?
Are you able to hear me now?
Yes, okay, yes. Please give out the guest call-in number.
646-727-3758.
Right. So you can call in on the telephone if you wish to participate. And we don't want to forget, many times we forget to announce in the middle of our show that you can also connect with Nazim Rashid and myself through the chat line. And so the chat is open for those of you who don't want to use the on-air procedures. Any questions out there about what Nazim said about addiction?
Well, this is Tom. I was going to make a comment about prescription drugs and stuff. Another thing that happens is some of these drugs, you're supposed to go off gradually, and people don't know that. Or even with the doctor's orders to go off them, and people try to go off them all by themselves, sometimes with disastrous effects, like seizures and stuff like that.
Mm. So the withdrawal, because they're not under medical care, the withdrawal.
Exactly. Or they don't know to just go off them gradually.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of them you go off with a milder drug gradually, too. You know, it just depends on that.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because towards the end of the show, we're going to talk about some of the things that students can do to avoid having to use drugs in order to, get through school and get through work. People who have those issues. We've got 23 minutes remaining, and we're going to go back. Any other questions for Brother Nazim or comments that you'd like to make before he continues?
Well, the only other thing I can say is biofeedback, if you can get that from your doctor or your insurance, really works well on pain. It works well on addiction. I mean, there's people that are in terrible pain. I had an uncle that fell down an elevator shaft and cracked his head open. And he was on morphine for years, and then he got on biofeedback and became a college professor and stuff. So that works if you go long enough, if you can do that.
And we have Jolene Brandis, who's also one of our greatest supporters for White Apple Institute, and she has that access to resources that even go beyond biofeedback. So if you're interested in other ways to address pain issues or non-sleep issues, sleeping problems, please make sure you call us so that we can provide that resource for you and make sure that you can get some help in that area. So thank you, Tom, for bringing that up. Any other statements out there about the doctors, especially? Because Nazim mentioned these doctors that are pushing these drugs, and so there's no room for people to even look at homeopathic remedies. I think Consuelo Estete might have some comments on that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Applewhite. I really don't have any comments because, as you know, I haven't really lived very long in Peru, where I was visiting just recently for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And this is very interesting to me. I really don't have very much experience about the topic, so I am going to listen very intently.
Okay, and have you, just let me ask you this, have you in your teaching with the universities that you've taught at, have you ever heard the discussions, any information that has been shared with teachers about prescription drug use?
No, not really, because my subject of teaching has only been language, like Spanish,
right. Mm-hmm.
Teaching Spanish, and so people just come and sit in the classes for a very short time and then they leave. So it's a very different ambience, very different setting, so I really don't have very much to say about that.
Well, you know, one, and that's what I expected you to say, as a matter of fact, which is bringing us to a very sad issue in our university and our college settings, because if and I'm reading from studies that are very valid studies, that college students, at whatever level they're in whatever ambience, whatever environment they're in, are using drugs to stay awake or to stay, passive. And so I promise you, you have had that experience, but maybe not aware of it because of the fact of the administration not providing that information, that awareness. Do you agree, Nazim?
I understand, yes.
Mm-hmm. Nazim, anything more?
Well, yes, there's plenty more. you know, I want to talk about the X factor for addiction. I can just talk about that point right now with the time we have. Is that the X factor of addiction is really X relates to the unknown factor. There's an X factor of addiction that some of us have, not addicts have, that predisposes them to addiction and addiction-like behavior. And that's something that people have to recognize. If you know you have that X factor for addiction, that means very clearly that you're more predisposed, so you have a weakness in those areas, an inherent weakness in those areas. So therefore, you need to stay away. You need to adjust your lifestyle and your choices and your environment so that you don't become a victim, you know, for those kind of situations. You got to really watch those kind of things. Again,
now,
so X factor addiction.
How would our listeners out there know whether or not they have an X factor? How do they get that type of information?
First of all, you got to look at our family history, because it's all in the family.
You see
what your with the father had, what the mother had, what the uncles have. You got to look in the family trees there and kind of see what they had. You know, all you could do is ask questions and observe and find out what they had. If you found that your uncle, you know, the thing about it, as we're growing up, we saw our Uncle Charlie drunk all the time. Everybody made fun of him. He was like the clown. Everybody made fun. It was no big deal. He was always drunk all the time. And Aunt Harriet, she was always wasted all the time. Everybody made fun of her, and she passed out. And no one thought anything about that. It was just something that everybody knew and that everybody accepted. They were just the good kind of the brunt of the joke all the time, you know? But those things right there are very definite ideas or instances or examples of what I'm talking about. If you have that kind of thing in your family, well, you know, that might be right in your bloodstream also, those inclinations. So therefore, we have to look at what that is. And also, now, look at your own behavior. If you find that, say alcohol, for instance. If you have X factor for alcohol, for instance.
Right.
You cannot be a moderate drinker. It doesn't work. It doesn't happen. You can't have one drink. It doesn't work. And if you find that you have one drink, and now you're also looking at the whole bottle here, that could be a good idea right there. So those things don't work for people with X factor for addiction. You can't operate the same kind of way. So that's very important to understand.
Of their environment and their genetic line, okay, their predisposition. Teachers out there and parents need to be aware so that they can look at these things and help their students if they see some of the characteristics, especially, and I'll list a few of them towards the end of the show. That will give us identifiers of when someone is using drugs. And this information is available through your school. But unfortunately, as a Professor Asete was bringing out, unfortunately, they do not distribute this information to other professors at the college level, which is it's much needed. Okay? It's much needed at K-12, but even more needed at the college level because of the pressure. The pressure increases, especially if somebody's working and going to school. Don't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Sure, of course. Yeah. And I also want to mention another thing, compulsive behavior. You know, there's one thing looking at the addiction itself, the drug, whatever, but if you look at associated behavior, like compulsive behavior, if a teacher sees a student they have some compulsive issues, you know, and so forth, that could be a red flag right there.
Right.
There's something else
that's,
to watch for also.
Right, exactly. That's very, very important. And, you know, one of the things that we can definitely identify with is students going to sleep in a classroom. I mean, that's one of the things that we have to be very well aware of when we see that happen, that if they're falling asleep in the classroom, a professor or any teacher at any level needs to address that problem and ask the student if there's something that they can do to help them, okay, because they seem very tired. And I know it is apprehension in doing that, too. Right, Professor Aspetti? There's an apprehension, isn't there? Hello? We're not hearing you very well there. I was just asking whether or not there would be an apprehension, even for some of you out there that have a friend that you know that's going overboard with prescription drugs. It's kind of difficult to really say something to them about it, isn't it? Anybody have a comment on that? Okay. All right, we can continue. Okay.
And anyway, Dina, let me just say one thing right here real quick, is that you look at a few things. Look at lethargy, look at anxiety, look at compulsivity. You know, when you see those three things in a classroom, or even paranoia, that's another one to throw in there, you start seeing these behaviors demonstrated in the classroom, then that is an idea right there. A person might have some issues around some kind of addiction. So I'm going to throw it in there.
Right. Very good. And why don't you, for the sake of some of the listeners out there that may not, maybe some have some language challenges, explain what you mean.
Well, okay, let's break it down then, okay?
Let's
talk about fear, for instance. If you see someone fearful, they're scared, they're afraid a lot, they're showing signs that they feel they're a victim, or they feel someone victimized them, and there's no one around or doing it to them whatsoever. They got this inherent fear. Something inside of them is making them afraid, you see, and so forth. That
right.
is what I'm talking about. I'm trying to break it down as much as I can.
Right.
You know, exactly. In that area.
Right, exactly. And so any of those issues, now let me, because of the time moving on us, as it usually does, and we certainly appreciate the people who have called in and participated and shared some comments. Thank you so much, and for our chat, being open here. And I know that I know that we're going to receive really great messages about the show. Let me share this with you: is that one of the things that one of the ways that we can avoid studying without the aid of any kind of drugs, especially stimulants. Because we're not getting enough sleep. So teachers need to be aware of these tips. And these are from a Harvard study and a number of different schools who have done some studies. So I've kind of like combined them together. But to always find a way to take a break, okay, about every hour or so. Now, I myself take a break about every 2 hours when I'm doing some research. And it really helps me build concentration to just get away from it for a minute. Sometimes I put on some music. They give a suggestion of studying in a quiet location. For some of us, it doesn't work. Okay, if it doesn't work for you, make sure it's because it really doesn't work for you, not because you're. You want to be around other people, and you want them to see you studying or joining groups or whatever, and you're really not really interested in studying. You just want to be around other people. But if you're really truly focused on studying for your college classes or for a work training program, you need to be in a quiet location, one that you're also familiar with. and study alone with a friend, it's good to be in a group to do a project. Nothing wrong with that. When you're working on a project, a group is a great idea. But when you're trying to study, it's a better idea, as the researchers bring out, to just study with one friend, okay? So that that way the talking and the distractions are not so prevalent, are not so common. And create create some kind of reward for yourself, okay? So saying to yourself, you know, after I finish this chapter, I'm going to go get some ice cream, or I'm going to buy a DVD, or after I finish studying for this test and doing something, reward yourself. And one of the things that I think is very important, and I talk to students a lot about this, is that when we don't get enough sleep, we really do suffer. There's no way to put sleep hours in a bank account, okay, and withdraw it when you need it. Once you have expended or used up your night, okay, and studied late into the night, the brain naturally begins to prepare for sleep at night anyway. And when you go past that time, it really does hurt the individual when they're trying to study and relax. So I just wanted to give those comments there on how to avoid the potential use or even temptation of addiction to coffee with heavy caffeine or any of the Percocets and other drugs that are out there. I hope that was helpful to our listeners. If you need more information, please feel free to write into us or call us. Dorothy will give us that information. Anything else? We've got about 8 minutes remaining here, and we certainly would like to hear from other listeners. Any other listeners have anything that they'd like to add before Nazim comes back on? Okay, Nazim, why don't you close up some of the things that you were sharing there, and then we'll go to Dorothy so that she can give us some resources to help support this work that White Apple Institute is doing.
All right, I'll just say that there's a lot that can be said about addictions, and we probably should, you know, take more time on other programs to do it. So much to talk about. And I mentioned a whole list earlier, such as, you know, domination over others. You know, some people have addiction over it. They got to be controlled. They got to have a master-slave relationship with someone. They got to have that. There's so many things with addictions here. And so that's why we have to look at all those things. And so we can purge ourselves of any kind of inclination, any kind of, you know, any kind of attraction toward that which does not help us. You know, so that's why we got to investigate ourselves.
That's right. That's,
you know, that's very important. And with addictions, you have, again, you got inherent and acquired. Again, you have inherent, which X factor belongs there, or acquired. That means you went out and did something that caused an addiction. And so that's why we have to look at those two areas, and you got to address those when we want to try to clean ourselves up and rid ourselves of these poisons. You know, so that's very important, inherent and acquired. And I want to put that out there. And we can always do something about these things. There's always a program to take care of things. There's a program to strengthen our weaknesses and make our weakness strong. You know, there's always a program for you. So don't think all because you got an X factor for, say, cocaine, you're always going to be a crackhead. That's not true.
That's right.
You know? There's always a program. Always a program. There's always
a program.
Always a way to get out of what you're into.
And I can tell you, Nazim has been involved with many, many programs in different communities, and he absolutely is right. There's always something, and teachers need to be aware and have information in their desk or available to them that they can share with a student that they're concerned about. Or at least go to your dean, your associate dean of your department, and discuss this with them so that, because our responsibility, even at the postgraduate level, is to ensure that our students are not just sitting in a seat and that we're teaching. We need to ensure that they are learning. That's very important. Not just talking and dictating or controlling. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I think you had something else to say. Go ahead. Was there something else you were going to say just now? Nazim?
No, not for me, or
no.
Someone else, I
okay.
think.
All right. So we wish much love and peace to all of you as we hope you stimulated some thought. This is part one, and next week we are hoping to have one of our doctors actually join the show and give some comments about how they feel about the suspension of prescription drugs, and maybe we can get even more than one doctor on our show next week. But we certainly will try to get Dr. Carroll, who is an OBGYN doctor who has some homeopathic experience, and I'm sure that maybe Professor Astete can maybe get some of the people that she knows that are in the field to join us on the show as guests for next week. We've got about 4 minutes remaining, and we'd like to bring Dorothy on, and I'm excited about the stuff that she always finds out and how we're growing. And, you know, Dorothy, how do we know from that program that you developed for us, how do we know that we're gaining money from that White Apple Institute blastoff.com?
Okay, when you log into your site, you just click on rewards, and it'll show you how much money. Just click on rewards, and I'd be happy to walk anyone through it who has joined and created their site from your site, how to show see the rewards, because you have to fill in your mailing address so they can mail you the cash. I mean, well, it's a check.
Okay, so, and that was one thing I was wondering about. So, in other words, they don't get the, do they get the discount right online, or do they get a cash check?
Oh, no, no, you get the discount right then when you order. When I ordered my chair, I got the discount right then.
Right.
And then, you know, when I ordered, that's just one example, because I've ordered several things from there.
Just give us a pop. Walk us through and how our listeners can go online that already use their online access to buy things, how they can go to our site and just walk them through a little bit for us. We got about 2 minutes remaining here.
Oh, okay. Well, when they go to WhiteAppleInstituteLastOff.com, they'll see a page that says, White Apple Institute has invited you to join the Blast Off Network. Are you ready to blast off? And on the right side, there's a place to put their name and their email address.
Uh-huh.
And then click the sign up. It's free. Click the sign up for free.
Okay. So they have to sign up. Okay.
And then
after they do that, then it walks them through. Is that right?
Yeah, they have a tutorial, but it's okay. I mean, I don't mind walking someone through it, even though the tutorial's there. It does have a lot of little information and step by steps of how to do things, and they'll see mall. There's a mall. There's home services. There's travel. There are several things you can choose because not everybody shops online, but the shopping online is the key.
Well, I want to encourage people to at least go online this week, if you can, and just look at not only the White Apple Institute blastoff.com website, but to also look at our main website to understand why this radio show exists and why we're promoting the mission of White Apple Institute through radio on the Internet. I've got only less than a minute left. And I want to wish everyone love and peace and thank all of our sponsors. Would you just go through our sponsors for a minute without the telephone numbers, Dorothy?
Oh, okay. Jolynn Brandis, the one we just talked about, her biofeedback wellness program.
Yes.
And I posted those on the website. I posted our sponsors and supporters with their phone numbers,
okay.
Wendy Duncan, Eric and Adele.
Yes.
To name a few, Martha Bergen, Nick, the publisher, I don't want to say his name wrong, but I did information book. Anybody?
We appreciate that very, very much. And don't forget to tune in to us next week. And we would love to hear more from you about your questions as you share the show with other listeners out there about how they feel about being involved with this prescription drug issue and the sale of prescription drugs, which is another thing that we will cover next week. Much love and peace from Professor Applewhite and all of our co-hosts and listeners out there and our staff from White Apple Institute. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next Saturday on Teachers.